God of overflowing grace, we come
to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness. Forgive us for passing by the ones in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting treasures. Forgive us our neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin, and strengthen us to serve you in all that you do with savior. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, there is joy in heaven over every sinner who repents. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us all, your sins are forgiven and you are made free. Rejoice with the angels and with one another. We are home in God's mercy now and forever.
Amen.
Let us join together in the prayer of the day. God among us,
we gather in the name of your Son
to learn love for one another.
Keep our feet from evil paths.
Turn our minds to your wisdom
and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. Welcome, Belquire.
Thank you, Bell Choir. That was wonderful. Our reading today, the first reading is 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. The pastoral epistles offer insight into how early Christians understood many practical matters, such as church administration and worship. The church's focused prayer for others is an expression of the single-minded passion God has toward us in Jesus. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The Psalms today is Psalms 113. Read the bold print, and then where you see the R, read, "The Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes." Hallelujah. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time forth forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations. God's glory above the heavens. The Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes.
Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high? The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes. The Lord makes the women of a childless house to be joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. The Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus tells the curious story of a dishonest man who cheats his employer and then is commended by him for having acted so shrewdly. Jesus wonders why his own followers are less creative and diligent in their stewardship, given that they are managers of a far more valuable household. The reading. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought against him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill down, sit down, and quickly make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. Whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We're going to sing sermon hymn, Beautiful Savior, verses 1, 2, and 4. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Do join me in just a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you today, we hear the good news, but in some ways it's disturbing, because in some ways we haven't measured up. In many ways. So we pray, Lord, as we hear this gospel, that your Spirit might encourage us to open our eyes and see how you have blessed us with so much, and help us then to be faithful managers of all that you've given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, givers and takers, good stewards and selfish owners. Let me check something out with you. I think you would agree that there are those who are generous, thoughtful givers in life. Those folks who see themselves as good stewards of all that God has given them. They realize that they own nothing, and but they have been given the privilege to manage all that God has given them from God's abundance. Do you agree with that? Yeah, sort of. How about this? I think you would agree that there are those who are always looking for a way to improve their bottom line, without regard for the other person, whether that person be rich or poor. They see themselves as rich, powerful owners who would have a hard time believing that God had anything to do with the wealth that they had earned by themselves. I think some of you would agree with that. Givers and takers, good stewards, and selfish owners. The wheat and the weeds growing up together, that's the predicament we live in. That's the way it is. Both sides of that equation are in today's gospel text in Jesus' parable to us. You know, you got to have a little sympathy for this dishonest steward. After all, he was trying to do his job, and in that day, if you had a master like he had, you were out to make money for your master. And so the master had these clients, these people who were renters, and in those days, they were charging a lot, and abusing a lot of their clients. So all of a sudden, the master tells the steward, you know, you're not bringing in the money, so what's going on? You can't be my steward anymore, but you give me a report right away. And so he's out, and he has to figure out what to do. And I think that in the process of the panic, in the frustration of being fired, this man did what he thought was expedient. It was certainly shrewd. And so he called in the debtors. And one by one, he gave them a break. He cut their payment. Sometime 1.5, 120%. Probably less than what the master was charging them in interest anyway. But what happened was, this steward realized that he was making his master look good. The people were so thrilled to write half of the debt or less. And it put him in good graces with his master, and it made the clients happy. Interesting, and I think the steward came around to realizing that generosity and faithfulness were huge gifts that we can give each other. The fact that he was able to forgive part of the debt in such a generous way made everybody happy. Well, this text is kind of deep and puzzling. It's a parable that challenges us. We're asked, what are we doing with what we have been entrusted? In other words, how can I, as a child of God, honor my Lord and my God by the way I manage everything, especially the true wealth that God's good news has given us? That is the love of God in Christ for the world. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are stewards of the good news. And I know all of you were thinking managing money. No. The great gift that we have is to manage the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's a big question for us. To probe that question, we need to back up a little bit and see where Jesus was going with this parable in this part of Luke's gospel. If you've been in church over the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know that Jesus has been teaching us in parables. You may remember the parable of the good shepherd who lost one of his sheep and left the 99, found the one that was lost, put it on his shoulders and brought it back, rejoicing. A sign of the way God treats us. Then you may remember the woman who lost her coin and she set aside everything else until she found it, rejoicing that lost coin was found. And then, of course, the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. Actually, there are three prodigals in that parable. The prodigal son, who squandered everything. Prodigal means extravagant, abundant kinds of behavior. So the prodigal son squandered his inheritance, but the prodigal father was so extravagant in his welcoming home, the son, that it's a sign, a symbol of God's grace for us. And the third prodigal in that story was the elder son, whose response to the younger son was also extravagant in a negative way. Three prodigals in that story of the lost son. And now we come to this parable, a strange one, about the dishonest steward. And what does it say? It says to us, God is nurturing us in the gifts of God's grace. Generosity and forgiveness are huge in this parable. So how do we respond to this teaching? The lesson for us today, I think, is pretty clear. If we take the view of the dishonest steward, when the chips are down, when we have to fish or cut bait, as my dad would say, either we catch something or we're going home. Two of the greatest gifts that we have to deal with adversity and difficult times in life are generosity and forgiveness. Surprisingly, these two gifts save the dishonest steward from total humiliation. Some of you may have seen the movie, movie that's out. My wife and I like to go to movies, so we went to this one called Sully. Story about Captain Chelsea Sullenberg, Berger, who landed his passenger jet, the U.S. Air passenger jet, on the Hudson River after it had taken off with, I don't know, 100 and some people, passengers, and birds took out both engines. And so he had to make an emergency landing, and he had to decide whether to try to get back to the airport or land, unbelievably, in the Hudson River. And the story of the film is how he did that and then what happened to him. Well, he was in a review session with the FAA, and they were challenging his decision to land on the Hudson River. And of course, after the evidence came in, it was clear that it was an amazing gift to save the lives of all those people that he made the decision to land in the Hudson River, because he could not have made it back to the airport. And when they were about to commend him for that, here's what he said. He said, "No, it was not me. It was all of us, the pilots, the flight attendants, the passengers, the rescue workers, and the flight managers, all doing what we knew how to do. All doing what we knew how to do. As a Christian, how well do you know what to do with generosity and forgiveness? In life, when the plane is going down, all the other stuff doesn't matter. To survive, we are called to do what we know and to give it our best. The dishonest manager was in a nosedive. He was fired, yet he decided to give it his best. And his shrewd, creative decisions to be generous and forgiving with his master's money saved his neck." Back in the 70s, there was a group of women who were Catholic nuns. And they were called the Medical Missionary Singers. They wrote a song to honor Jonah. Remember Jonah, the story of Jonah and the whale? Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh and preach. But he was a reluctant missionary, and he kind of ran away from God's will and had this encounter with a whale. And the whale spit him out and saved his life. So anyway, these medical missionaries sang this song. And one verse of it goes like this. Where's my note here? God loves a cheerful giver. Give it all you've got. He loves to hear you laughing when you're in an awkward spot. When the odds add up against you, it's time to stop and sing. Praise God. To praise him is a joyful thing. The issue is, we're never alone in the midst of our troubles. And it's time to remember that God loves us, even in tough times. So, I want to be clear about something in this sermon, that it's not about judging those who are rich by any means. It's about being generous and forgiving as a child of God. However, Martin Luther had some things to say about this parable and the use of mammon. He said this: many a person thinks he has God and everything he needs when he has money and property. In them, he trusts, and in them he boasts so stubbornly and securely that he cares for no one else. Surely such a man also has a god, mammon by name, that is, money and possessions, on which he fixes his whole heart. It is the most common idol on earth. Mammon. That's if you go away from generosity and forgiveness. So even though this sermon is not about money, it's about the gift of using our treasure, the gifts that God has given us as Christians, to be generous and forgiving. What Jesus wanted his disciples to hear, and I think all of us this morning, is that the shrewd, dishonest manager is a sign or an example of what we can do as children of God to glorify our Father. So this parable for us really is about the future of the church. The future of the church has been invested in all of us. How will the children of light, you and I, tell the old story to a new generation? Distracted, challenged, and seduced by more secular wants and desires than ever before. The question is, how will we, many of us retired, some of us tired, followers of Jesus, how will we grow this church by making new disciples? I think generosity and forgiveness have something to do with the answer. And I think what we need to do is keep our eyes on that cross as we look for the future and recognize the tremendous sacrifice and gift that God gave us through Christ, through his suffering, death, and resurrection. And that's the spirit of generosity and forgiveness in that cross that we need to hand on to the next generation. The question for Bethesda is going to be, what opportunities do we have to pass the word along? Where will we speak? How will we speak? And will God be blessed by what we do with the treasure God has given us? Thanks be to God for the gospel of grace. Amen. Our next hymn is our offering song, and it's Softly and Tenderly, number 608. I'm sorry. Hello. Just a moment. Let us join in the offertory prayer. And would you please stand and give thanks to God? Merciful God,
as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
Rejoicing in the Spirit's work among us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Giver of the feast, bless your church and all who hunger and thirst. Nourish us richly with your word and meal, and send us the signs of your living presence in the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Ruler of the earth, bring forth an abundant harvest from fields, orchards, and gardens. Renew fields that will soon lie fallow. Feed and protect all wild creatures, Lord, in your mercy. God of the nations, we pray for places in the world affected by conflict, war, and turmoil. Especially this morning, we are mindful of pain and suffering of the people in Syria. We are mindful of all of the things that have happened in Afghanistan and the Middle East and all those war-torn places. We pray, Lord, for our leaders to come to the peace table. We pray that your perfect peace and order be restored. Lord, in your mercy. God of our weary years, we remember before you those among us who are sick or who are recovering from illness or surgery, especially those most dear to us whom we silently name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy. God, our beginning and ending, we thank you for hope even in the midst of despair. Visit this assembly with your light and truth, Lord, in your mercy. And God of our silent tears, we remember the faithful departed who make up the great cloud of witnesses. Gather us all in praise around your throne, Lord, in your mercy. And with your hands, O God, we command all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through our Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us join in praying the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Welcome to the Lord's table. May be seated. body of our Lord Jesus Christ in his precious blood, strengthen and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. We come again
to you, O God, giving you thanks that in this feast of mercy you have graced us and healed us, making us one in the body of Christ. Go with us on our way. Equip us for every good work, that we may continue to give you thanks by embracing others with mercy and healing. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God Almighty, send you life and truth to keep you all the days of your life. The hand of God protect you. The holy angels accompany you. The blessings of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and